violence, even though the world's so bad. This man rushed out to help the dying, and though I am no use to them, I do my part by simply smiling. Let's get it on. Still, I always shock them when I answer, hi, my name's Amanda, and I'm not gonna live my life on one side of an ampersand. Even if I went with you, I'm not the girl you think I am, and I'm not gonna match you, 'cause I'll lose my voice completely. No, I'm not gonna watch you, 'cause I'm not the one that's likes playing hospital, lying in my bed. I remember what you said. There's no such thing. You've got the headstones already all carved up and pretty. Your sick satisfaction, those his and hers matching. The daisies all push up in pairs to the horizon. Your eyes filled with ketchup, it's nice that you're trying. Your headstones already all carved up and pretty. Your sick satisfaction, those his and hers matching. The daisies all push up in pairs. Stopped at my apartment, and my housemates are all sleeping soundly, and nobody deserves to die. That you were awful, Adam, and that if I didn't love you, then you had just one turn. I may be romantic, I may risk my life for it, but I ain't gonna die for you. You know I ain't no Juliet, and I'm not gonna watch you while you burn yourself out, baby. No, I'm not gonna stop you, 'cause I'm not the one that's crazy. Yeah.
You're tuned into Intersections here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here at the beautiful University of British Columbia campus. We are the weekly spoken word current affairs radio program produced by CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective. My name is Mel Woods. I am this year's Gender Empowerment Collective coordinator. Joining the booth as I am every week, actually. It has become the trend now with collective member Maxime. it's not a bad thing at all. It's exciting. We always have a fun time here in the booth, and you're running the boards today like you did last week, which is a lot of fun.
And the last time, too, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, this is our last week with Maxime, Radioland. Appreciate her while we have her. you're going off to other things, is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much university life. You don't know what's going to happen afterwards.
Yes, well, we definitely have treasured the time that we have with you, and hopefully we'll make this last episode a great one.
Yeah, I've enjoyed all the episodes so far.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. Community radio is great, folks. And if you want to get involved wherever you are out there in radio land, you can.
Smooth.
I know. I love those smooth connections. You can. Just email us. Volunteer at CITR.ca to get involved, whether you're going to get involved with the Gender Empowerment Collective here.
I'd recommend it.
Yeah, the News Collective, the Sports Collective, or host a music show. I host a music show earlier in the week, and it is one of the greatest joys of my week. So if you want to get involved in community radio, be like Maxime.
Be like me.
Be like her.
Should have a meme.
Yeah, it should be like Maxime. You can. And it will be your grand. But yeah, like we were saying, we have a great show planned today. First up, we're going to be hearing from my sister, actually, which is really exciting, who is a stand-up comedian working in Kelowna right now, but who is in town doing some shows and stuff. So she's going to talk about being a stand-up comic and a woman and all of that. Right, Emily?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, we're going to talk. It's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be wild.
Wild. and also, Maxime, you did an interview, More Witchcraft. That's the thing you've been
again
doing the last few weeks.
It's becoming a bit of a series so far. Again on Witchcraft, really interesting with Leah Rose Tottenham, who is the co-founder of Radical Spirits. Whilst last week I talked to Adriana, who is also the co-founder of the collective.
Cool. So,
spirits.
So witchy goodness here
Sounds
on the
spooky.
Radio. It is spooky.
I think full moon is coming up.
Oh,
yeah. So we're getting closer.
There we go.
I know. Well, we're gonna listen to all of that great stuff after this song. The first song you heard kicking off the show, almost didn't introduce it. That was Amanda Palmer with Ampersand. That's one of Emily's picks. So we're going to play a few songs picked by Emily this week, which is lots of fun. Most notably, this next one, which is, I think she said, a great intro track. It's Queen Latifah. So we're going to hear Ladies First from Queen Latifah here on CITR.
The rhyme, it is wicked. Those that don't know how to be pros get evicted. A woman could bear you, break you, take you. Now it's time to rhyme. Can you relate to a sister dope enough to make you holler and scream?
Yo, let me take it from here, queen. Excuse me, but I think I'm about due to get into precisely what I am about to do. I'm conversating to the folks who have no whatsoever clue. So listen very carefully as I break it down for you. Merrily, 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 high for happy overjoy. Please, with all the beats and rhymes my sisters have employed. Slick as me throwing down the sound, totally a yes. Let me state the position. Ladies first, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, there's gonna be some changes right there.
Believe me when I say being a woman is great to see. I know that all the fellas out there will agree with me. Not for being one, but for being with one. Cause when it's time for loving, it's the woman that gets them sworn. Stepping, strutting, moving on, rhyming, cutting, and not forgetting. We are the ones to give birth to the new generation of prophets, cause it's late.
I break into a lyrical freestyle. Grab the mic, look at the crowd and see smiles. Cause they see a woman standing up on her own two. Sloppy slouching is something I won't do. Some think that we can't flow.
Can't flow.
Stereotypes, they got to go.
Got to go.
I'ma mess around and flip the scene into reverse.
With what?
With a little touch of ladies first.
least you must be blind. If you don't believe or hear, listen to this rhyme. Ladies first, take no time to rehearse. I'm divine and my mind expands throughout the universe. A female rapper with a message to send. The Queen Latifah is a perfect specimen.
My sister, can I get some?
Sure, Moni Love, grab the mic and get dumb.
Yo, praise me not for being simply what I am. Born in L-O-N-D-O and sound American. You dig exactly where I'm coming from. You want righteous rhyme and I'ma give you some. To enable you to aid yourself and get paid. And the material that has no meaning I wish to slay. Pay me every bit of your attention. Like mother, like daughter, I would also like to mention. I wish for you to bring me to the, bring me to the rhythm. Of which is now systematically given. Desperately stressing I'm the daughter of a sister. Who's the mother of a brother. Who's the brother of another. Plus one more. All four have a job to do. We do and respect due to the mother who's the root of it. And next up is me, the M-O-N-I-E-L-O-V-E. And I'm first cause I'm a L-A-D-I-E.
Contact and in fact, the style it gets harder. Cooling on the scene with my European partner. Laying down track after track, waiting for the climax. When I get there, that's when I tax the next man or the next woman. It doesn't make a difference. Keep the competition coming. And I recite you chapter and verse. The title of this recital is Ladies First.
You're tuned into Intersections here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver. And we are joined in the studio today by comedian and sister extraordinaire, Emily Woods.
Hello!
It's exciting.
It's so fun.
It's a sister act it here is. On the radio.
That's why we played Queen Latifah.
This is exactly why we played the Queen Latifah song.
It's perfect.
It's a sister. It's why a didn't sister we play act. A song from Sister Act?
Well, we still have time.
There's a lot of radio yet to come. yeah, it's a really exciting day for me in community radio. This is the first time I've interviewed a family member on community radio, I guess.
Yeah, that's wild.
Next up, it's Tony's turn.
Oh, bring in the stepdad.
That's our stepdad. but yeah, you're a stand-up comedian, is that correct?
Yeah, I've been doing it for almost a year now. I started when I was living in London for the last year. I started doing comedy there. Because I was going to acting school and it was pretty easy because no actors do comedy. So when they saw it, they were like, oh my God, this is incredible, even though it was pretty bad in the beginning. But it really upped my confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So and then I just kept doing it. And then I ended up in Kelowna and I just kept doing it. And there have been a lot of times where I have wanted to stop doing it, but I'm going to keep doing it, I think.
So what's the Kelowna comedy scene like?
The Kelowna comedy scene is really interesting. There's one main place to do comedy, and there's probably 20 to 30 of us who show up, like, weekly, depending on, like, switching out and stuff. So we all know each other really well, and it's mostly dudes, and there's me and another woman who show up regularly. So it's very male-influenced, which is interesting, and I love all of them, but I have run into a lot of stresses from that, and it drives me to keep going, though, because I just want to almost make them even more angry when I get those negative comments.
What kind of negative comments are you talking about?
Oh, you know, like in competitions when you get told, oh, you only won because you're the girl. Or the first day I went to comedy, I had one of them ask me to have sex with him in the bathroom.
Oh no.
You know,
oh,
that's just that's the way it goes. And I never back down, which annoys some people, and I'll just always keep calling people out when I don't agree with the things.
And keep on doing that. So how would you describe your comedy style?
My comedy style is very female-centered and very true. It's true life stories, mostly. I've had a pretty wacky life. I've had a lot of, like, unfortunate and inconvenient things happen, which has just made for great comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What kind of examples?
Well, the reason I am in Kelowna now is because when I was studying in London, I got the disease that is meningitis. and I was in the hospital, and I almost died. You know this.
I am your sister,
she
so I am aware.
She didn't text me the whole time I had
meningitis. Okay, I did.
Is this like, is this becoming a thing now?
It's a thing.
I almost died, and then my school was like, oh, you missed so much school, you have to defer for a year and come back. And my visa wouldn't let me stay in the country, so I got kicked out of England. And turns out our parents went to retire in Kelowna in a nice little two-bedroom apartment. And now I'm living in a two-bedroom apartment with my parents.
And a tiny dog and an angry cat.
Yeah. It's quite the sitcom. It's cute.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you have a lot of jokes about meningitis?
I have a few. Okay. You know, I can't make meningitis my whole shtick. I don't want to be the meningitis girl. Like, I don't have it anymore. I didn't even get the deadly kind. I didn't even get the kind that, like, you lose limbs from.
No, so you have all your limbs?
Yeah. I think so.
Well, you should know, right?
Yeah, well, I ask this because we're on the radio, folks. Like, all the people out there in Radio Land in their cars and their TV sets, not their TV sets, listening on their pocket radios or whatever, well, they can't see Emily. They don't know her limbs situation.
I do have 10 fingers and 10 toes and all my arms and legs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is there comedy in living with your parents right now?
Oh, yeah. It's it's wild. They're in, like, that midlife crisis stage. Like, my stepdad bought a boat. My mom is, like, an independent woman, but she has a broken pelvis and walks with a cane. She's, like, unstoppable, though. But we're like, you have a broken pelvis. You need to slow down. You know? Yeah, like 10 years ago, they were in a car accident, and my mom has had a broken pelvis ever since. So obviously that caused a lot of trauma for Melanie and I over the last 10 years because I spent so much time thinking about how and if my parents are having sex with the broken pelvis.
That is the only thing you thought about?
You just wonder. You think about it too much because you just don't know. And I still don't know to this date. And I want to know, but I don't.
Oh, you're one of those who want to know,
like,
actually.
You're curious, but I don't want. I don't really want to know because it's my parents. But you wonder.
So, turning to the page slightly. not entirely, though. Something I noticed, and, like, I work part-time as a server at a comedy club. I watch a lot of comedy. I don't do it very rarely, and I'm not as good at it as you are. But something I've noticed is often this trend of, like, women including a lot of sexual content in their comedy to be funny. What do you think about that?
I like to include sexual content in my comedy to make it just common. It's the fact that that's funny is kind of, it shouldn't be. Because we're at a point where if a dude made the same jokes as me, like, they wouldn't be funny for him. But so I want to get it to a point where it's normalized so that I have to write better jokes than that. But right now I can just go up and be like, oh, dildo. And everybody's like, this is insane. But it's not, you know. So I just want to normalize it. So right now, since it's easy and funny, I'm going to keep doing it for a while. And then hopefully I'll have to challenge myself more in the future.
Normalize the dildo?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exciting. And so what has the reception to your comedy been, besides the shitty dudes?
It's been interesting. I'm not a common demographic in comedy because I'm a 19-year-old girl. So kind of when people see that, they think it's funny already almost, just the fact that I'm getting up there. And I have very mature content. And it confuses people, so typically they think I'm, like, 25 to 30, but then the fact that I'm 19 just throws everybody off. But it's gone really well. I mean, I've been in Kelowna for about 4 months now, and I've gotten so much support from them. Like, I'm going to be on Shaw TV on Monday. We're filming for a Kelowna comedy show, and it's just been fantastic. I mean, I'm hosting shows weekly, and I'm in them, and it's been so great. Mm-hmm. And even here in Vancouver, I already got great reception, and I only did last night, so it's been so fun. And the support for women in comedy is just growing so much, and I'm so happy about it.
Yeah. Where do you, as, like, the cliche public radio interviewer question, where do you draw your inspiration from?
Ooh.
Like, who are your favorite female comics out there? Or male comics, I guess, but
my favorite female comic right now would probably be Jenny Slate.
Ah.
Yeah. I just like that she's normalizes just dumb things that people think are shocking for women. Like, she'll go up and do poop jokes that you don't expect. Or, you know, she'll talk about her, like, period underwear. And I love that she can do that, and it's fine. And she's fine with it. And she's just this, like, tiny little girl. And I kind of relate to that, you know? But I also love just, like, the storytelling aspect of Mike Birbiglia. He's one of my favorite comics and has always been since the beginning. Just the fact that you can talk about important things and, like, touch people, and you can make someone cry and then, like, make them laugh the next second. And that's, like, what I want to do, because I believe that comedy can change the world because it's a tool to make uncomfortable subjects comfortable again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important to use.
Oh, totally. And you come from an improv background. Like, that's what I know you when we were kids and when you were in high school more so. I remember coming back from university to go watch your high school improv shows. How does improv inform your stand-up?
My improv career was incredible. I was coached by a very strong woman.
Sue Mary.
Sue Mary. And I was on a team with seven boys. So she made it very clear that we were using improv to change the world. So every scene, she was like, you got a problem? Talk about it on stage. Like, make the world know it. Change the world through your improv. And I mean, I want to get there with my stand-up. Right now, I'm, like, in the beginning. I'm just trying to make audiences laugh and get to that point. But I think at some point, I can build myself to that. And I hope that I can talk about those important things that I care about and do what improv did for me, which was just so empowering and crazy. I mean, I got on stage at a provincial competition and talked about boys making jack-off hand symbols at me in the hallways. And that was totally fine in a high school competition because it was important and needed to be talked about. So I think now that I'm in an adult world, too, it's easier to talk about those things, and I'm going to take advantage of it.
Nice. And so what have you found? You've been in Vancouver since yesterday. You flew in and you're here for the weekend. What have you found is different about Vancouver comedy as compared to Kelowna comedy?
There's a lot more women. It's kind of known, Vancouver's a lot more inclusive and a lot more liberal and forward-thinking, I guess. Whereas Kelowna, like, we all know each other. The comics all know each other. We know what our audience is going to be. And we can kind of just, like, make fun of each other and riff off each other and do things that we know are specifically funny. Where in Vancouver, you have to be so open to an open audience that could be anyone there. So you need more approachable material than we could do in Kelowna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you feel it's competitive here in Vancouver, since you mentioned there's more female comedians?
I'm an incredibly competitive person.
Yeah, so. That runs in the family.
Yeah. I look at everything as a competition, which is horrible. But, like, every time I get on stage, I compare myself to the other people, and I'm like, am I the best today? Am I the worst? I need to, like, know where I stand.
Does it feel like you're competing more with the men or the women?
I don't ever want to compete against women. I want to support female comics, and I think that needs to happen. So I'm trying to take my competitive side and not put it there, because I think female comics need all the support they can get right now. But I will always fight a man in comedy, which has been proven to happen many times.
And you win, yes?
And I do win.
Good.
I won a competition 2 weeks ago, and I won 2 flats of beer.
How fast did that beer disappear?
You know what? I was nice, and I brought it to a party with all the boy comics and let them drink all my beer.
That's so. See, you're more women in comedy.
Right? We're so kind. We share our beer.
Nice. And so what's your favorite joke you've ever told?
My favorite joke? My favorite joke is probably one that's just like, I just came up with it a while ago, and it's about me. So it goes, you know how people say, like, oh, you have the face for radio as we're here. You know, I have the legs for pants. Like, if I wasn't wearing pants, you would see a shade of red and white that would make no Canadian proud. Like, I have such a confusing body. I have, like, the chest of a 12-year-old boy before he hits puberty, but the ass of a woman in the Middle Ages who would have been sold for so much money because of her great birthing hips, you know? Like, I could give birth to such a good baby, but it wouldn't get any milk. Like, it would die of malnourishment so fast.
It's a good joke. That one, I was at Yuck Yucks last night when you did that one, and that got a good raucous response from the crowd.
Yeah, I like to talk about myself. I'm self-centered, and and I'm also like so self-deprecating because the comedians in Kelowna, we riff on each other, we make fun of each other, but the thing is, that's all my material already. So I go to roast me, and it's just like, we already know that I hate myself, you know? We already know my dad abandoned me. Like, I've covered that already, so.
I know, here in Vancouver, you're fresh slate, though.
I know. So if I go on stage and say my dad abandoned me, everyone here is like, whoa, that's insane. In Kelowna, they're like, we get it. Move on.
You know? And so finally, what shows are you doing this weekend? If anybody out there in Radioland wants to come watch some good comedy and watch some of your good comedy particularly.
Oh, well, tonight I have three lined up and I hope I can make it to all of them. At 8 o'clock, there is an open mic at Benny's Bagels. At 9 o'clock, I'm doing Jokes Please down at the Little Mountain Gallery. And then at 10 o'clock, I'll be doing the open mic at Yuck Yucks. And Saturday night, I'm doing the Comedy Basement at Goldie's. And I'm going to figure out some other shows and see where I end up. So
that's exciting. So if you're going to comedy this weekend in Vancouver, there's a good chance that you'll come across the Littlest Woods.
Yeah, the Littlest Woods. You can come see me.
I know. The what do they call a small grouping of trees? Like a, I don't know.
A little woods?
Not a little woods. I don't know. I'm like the 100-acre woods. You're like the 97-acre woods. Because for 3 years, difference. See, I should be in comedy.
Yeah, yeah. I guess there it goes.
Uh-oh.
You were always better than me at everything.
Oh, no. You're much funnier than me. As everybody, I always describe you to people as like me, but funnier and cuter.
I always describe you to people as like me, but chubbier and looks like a lesbian.
So rude.
But so true.
Well, I am a lesbian.
Yeah, I know, but you look it.
Wow, so much personal info here.
I know, you're sitting here learning a lot of things about us on the radio, and everybody out there in the radio land is learning these things too.
Now you know what Melanie and I look like.
You're but no one knows about me, so I'm safe.
Maxine's safe from all of this. Oh, yeah. Well, at least there was no childhood secrets revealed on the radio.
Maxine's got a beard.
No, this is not true.
All prepared for November.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the radio with me. It's very exciting to get to interview my little sister.
Yeah,
that's
a
lifelong dream, really.
It's been a while.
You've always been the cool one.
Thanks.
Except
for
now I work in alternative radio.
Sleep on your couch.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for sleeping on my couch. I hope my cats didn't bother you in the night.
Oh, it was nice.
Nice. We're gonna listen to one of
my favorite song of all time.
So, explain the significance of this song.
All right. 5 years ago, I came up with the funniest idea I've ever come up with, and it's still the funniest idea to this day. I decided I'm going to get a tattoo that is a lower back tattoo in Comic Sans font that says, I don't want no scrubs, so that if anything's going to happen with the guy, and he'll look at it and he'll go, oh, sorry, I'm a scrub, and then he'll leave, you know? And my mom said, Emily, that's horrible. If it's funny in 5 years, you can get it. And it's been 3 years, and it's still funny, so.
We got 2 years to go until it's lower back tattoo time.
I can't wait.
So, yeah, this is Big Joanie's cover of No Scrubs here on Intersections. Sections.
Woohoo.
See you later.
Give you my name.
No!
And Digitization is a program that provides resources and training for First Nations and Aboriginal organizations throughout British Columbia. Come out November 24th from 1 to 4 p.m. in room 2311 in the AMS Nest for a three-hour workshop that will engage participants in a conversation about the unique context of working with Indigenous cultural heritage materials, as well as introduce the tools and equipment necessary to digitize audio cassettes for long-term preservation.
Am I wrong?
Man, they were nihilists, man.
Huh?
They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Nihilists.
Great Escape from Nihilism, Rediscovering Our Passion in Late Modernity by Dr. Gordon E. Karkner involves a journey out of the prison of contemporary nihilism and into a meaningful life trajectory. Rooted in the work of Canadian premier philosopher Charles Taylor, this book is a relevant read for students and faculty. You can find it at the UBC or Regent bookstores.
Who's the f***ing nihilist around here, you bunch of...
I'm here in the studio with Leah Rose Tottenham, co-founder of Radical Spirits, and which is a feminist artist collective based in Vancouver. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So could you start by introducing yourself?
Yeah, of course. My name is Leah. I'm a non-binary queer witch of European descent. The ancestors that I know of mine are Irish, English, German. I identify as agender. I use they, them pronouns. I've been a practicing witch for about 5 or 6 years. And I'm also the co-founder of Radical Spirits, which is a collective of like feminists and artists, makers, healers, activists, which is kind of all genders and identities, all walks of life, which has been a really rewarding project. Radical Spirits has been around for about 4 years, and it's always changing and evolving, and we're always kind of looking for new people to join forces with and make magic.
And what kind of witchcraft do you practice yourself?
The tradition I most closely follow is called the Reclaiming tradition. So this is a neo-pagan tradition created in the late 70s by a witch named Starhawk and like her crew. And so it's a really dynamic tradition. It's kind of got three like main components, and one would be the having like an interconnectedness with the earth and nature. And the second part of that would be like doing healing work, so on yourself and others collectively. And the third part of it is like political activism. So it's a very like feminist and intersectional feminist tradition. And it draws a lot of queer folk. And within it, like there's no one way to do magic as long as you're doing no harm to anybody or anything. And just like remembering that you're like everything you do comes from a place of love and respect for all living beings, and everything that's alive is sacred because it's all made up of like the divine, and we're all made from that material and from that force, and it kind of just like permeates and sustains like the entire universe, which I think is really cool. And kind of under that as well is this phrase of like all acts of love and pleasure are my rituals. So when people ask, like, what does your witchcraft look like? Could look many different ways, as long as you're kind of following those loose structures of, like, you know, loving nature, loving each other, loving everything, respecting everybody, and just, like, granting yourself pleasure and like, being okay with that, and just kind of being against the patriarchy, too, is a big part of it.
Is that what defines feminism and witchcraft to you, the patriarchal system?
Being outside of the patriarchal system,
for sure,
and kind of creating your own path that comes from inside and not from any doctrine telling you what to do, because that's what's really nice about the craft is there's not just like one overarching like text or dogma that's like telling you this is how you must do it. So everybody's magic, like no two people's magic is going to look the same, which is amazing as well because it really allows for a lot of diversity and learning from each other, which is cool.
Is there any criticism you have regarding people that practice witchcraft regarding the binary, for example?
I wouldn't necessarily critique anybody's witchcraft, anybody's form of magic. I think everyone should be free to practice how they will, but it's more, I guess, the issue when it comes to like binary constraints is just if you yourself can see yourself reflected in your spiritual practice and your spirituality, and if you identify outside of the gender binary, there's going to be a lot of content that you're going to not feel like it won't resonate as much with you. If you want like a quick example of that, could be the term goddess, because witchcraft is a goddess religion, it's matriarchal. So for instance, if you identify as non-binary and you're looking at that word goddess, and really all it is a metaphor for this kind of like huge mystery that's out there. It's this force that's everywhere, that's all around us, that's in us, that's part of us. It's like inextricable from everyday life, and we worship that, and it's traditionally called goddess. But what I like about the reclaiming tradition is it says mystery goes beyond form. So that word goddess and that concept is more just like a personification of this huge, like immense mystery and deep cosmic wisdom that like us humans, we don't have privy to that knowledge. So it's like we need to come up with some way to like digest that huge concept. And so, you know, it became personified as the goddess. And this kind of comes from like a more kind of cis sexist view of like, because the goddess force is this like life-giving manifestation, like creation force, and so that kind of got like, oh, that's what women do, so that's where that kind of female personification comes from, and that's a beautiful thing for people who see themselves reflected in that, but not everybody will identify with personifying like the mystery as the goddess. So there's a couple, like a few different terms that I like, and everyone kind of could just like find something that works for them. So, I mean, calling it the mystery is one that I like, or taking it a step further, saying like the mysterious one, because that kind of still gives it that personification that's easy to relate to as like a human figure, but it's not gendered, or, you know, the divine or divine one is kind of the same. And there's also Godex, or G-O-D-D-E-X, or E-X-X, so kind of following this tradition of, you know, using the X as a gender-neutral substitute for other letters. So yeah, those are like some other options that are there for people, and I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong at all with, you know, worshipping the goddess and having that, like, female or feminine personification. But just to know that there's, like, that gendering is like, it can be extracted from that concept if you don't see yourself reflected in and if you don't relate to it. And there are other words that are just as powerful and that talk about like that same root concept or idea that we're getting at when we say goddess.
When you started practicing witchcraft, were you aware of the binary issues, or is this something you found out along the way?
When I first started practicing witchcraft, I did not yet identify as non-binary. I was still identifying as, like, I used she, her as my pronouns. And so I kind of felt like this kind of level of, like, unease with just kind of, like, feminine gendering in general, because I always felt like that didn't quite fit me, but I didn't know why. Like, I didn't have the words for it or the ideas to even think like, oh, maybe I'm non-binary. Like, I for many reasons thought that was, that I didn't have access to that identity, or even earlier I didn't even know that was an identity. So my feelings of like unease with just like feminine and female stuff in general, so I wouldn't say like I identified it immediately as like, oh, the binary is the issue here. It was just kind of like, I think I just had this overall like sense of just like unease and like not belonging in this realm of like cis women, and I always felt like, oh, I'm like, you know, I'm failing at being a woman, or like I'm just not, like I just can't get energetically on that same level, and like, so what's wrong with me? And then it was actually through kind of magic, and more specifically tarot, that like accepting my like non-binary identity came to be, because I was using a deck that I have called the Slow Hauler Tarot deck, and it's like non-gendered, like it's everybody and all the figures in it are gender neutral, or, you know, you just can't really tell. It's not like male, female, or like through the whole thing. And it's also great because it's not hierarchical, like a regular tarot deck or a traditional tarot deck will have like the court cards of like page, knight, queen, king. So it's a super patriarchal hierarchy. And so that deck doesn't have it. But anyways, I was doing a reading and this card came out that I'd never had before from it. And it's number 2 in the major arcana, and it's the Oracle. And so this would correspond to the High Priestess in like the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. And I started reading about it, and it was saying like, this card is all about like surrendering to like the mystery and like, you know, letting go of this need to like control or, you know what's happening. Like, just, it's this total like reminding you that you don't know like where your future's going, and you don't know. So just kind of let go of this need to control or like steer yourself in any direction, and just, you know, surrender yourself. And I found that really interesting. And so I had put it on an altar that I was working with at that time. So this particular day I had left a candle going on the altar and had gone downstairs to do something, and I came back up shortly after, and it was right under a window, and the window was open, and I guess the wind had blown this card onto the flame. And so it had like burnt down half the card, and I came back up and I was just devastated because I love this deck so much. And so I just saw this burned card and I like freaked out. I was like, on one hand, just like so upset that I had ruined this like very special magical tool of mine. And then also at the same time, I was just freaked out because I'm going like, oh God, what does that mean when a card, like when a tarot card burns? Like it just seemed completely horrible. And I was like, I'm destined for terrible things after this. And so I messaged another witch that I know, and she's like a tarot like master. Like she knows it in and out. Like she's amazing. And so I just messaged her in a tizzy and was like, help, help, help. Like, what does this mean? And she's saying, the cards that I pulled are telling me that you need to like let other people in on whatever this like struggle you're having internally is. And like, just kind of stop trying to make something happen in a certain way, or stop trying to like prevent a change from happening. And that didn't really make sense immediately. And then I think it's probably like a week later or something, I was hanging out with a friend and they identified as non-binary. And like looking back at that point in my life, like so many people around me identified as non-binary. I had been kind of slowly surrounding myself with these like safe people who had this experience that I was relating to, but not really realizing it or allowing myself to fully realize this about myself. And then yeah, I was with this person and something they said just like clicked, and I was like, oh my God, like that fits for me and that feels so good. And it was kind of this like really like liberating moment of going like oh, like all this stuff now looking retrospectively on my life, like it just all kind of starts to fit together. And I really like started at that moment like to claim this like agender identity that previously I had thought was completely off limits to me for so many reasons, one of them being like, oh, I can pass as female, so why would I have access to, you know, some gender identity that is not that? And like even saying it right now seems absurd. Like somehow I had been like fully like just denying myself access to this identity for, I don't know, so many reasons that I look now, you know, almost a year later, and I'm just like, oh, that doesn't make sense, you know. So I know magic really helped me put that all together.
Do you think there are any things that needs to change regarding witchcraft and the binary? Is there some changes you'd like to see happen in the future? Or maybe now already?
I think one thing that I can think of is like a lot of the literature around witchcraft. My day job is at the public library, so I spend a lot of time like with that kind of content, and I'm always looking for books. And I find that a lot of the literature focuses, like, I just even scrolling through like a list of titles, it's like sisters, like Sisters of the Dark Moon, or like, you know, witchcraft and women, and it's all, that's kind of it. Like, it's all about women. And like using these words, sisters, sisterhood. So that can feel alienating. And I'm sure there's other people out there too who maybe feel like a bit alienated by that, or even like people who identify as men. Like there's not really a lot out there of like, you know, men and witchcraft, or, you know, and especially like not a lot of books on like queer witches or non-binary witches or trans witches. So I'd like to see maybe more people creating content like that in books. And I understand like it's not so easy because it's like these are like marginalized people and they don't have access, you know, we don't have access as much to the resources that it takes to, you know, publish a book or write a book. So I mean, I understand those limitations, but still I think that would be really cool.
Dreams, woman of dreams, you're all that I need. Yeah, you're my woman of dreams, woman of dreams, so sexy to me, to everyone else, but especially me. I have a right to safety. I have a right to education. I have a right to my culture. Kids like me need to know about child rights and earlier age what to do about it.
Today, the Canadian Council of Child and Youth Advocates asks you to make every day a day to stand up for children's rights in your life. If you are a young person who needs the help of an advocate, you can also find the advocate for your own province listed on ccya.ca.
Of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts on Main Street at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Biltmore Cabaret, Red Cat Records, Lucky Comics, The Wallflower Modern Diner, Neptune Records, The Rag Machine, The Regional Assembly of Text, and so many more.
And we are back. You're tuned into Intersections here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here at the beautiful University of British Columbia campus. My name is Mel Woods, this year's Gender Empowerment Collective Coordinator, hanging out with Maxime in the booth as we have for most of this semester so far. You just heard Maxime's interview about non-binary identities and witchcraft.
Yes, we did. And next week is going to be the follow-up of the interview, which is going to be about cultural appropriation, actually. So also a very important topic to talk about.
Yeah, and a lot of witchcraft this semester. It's a spooky time.
Should have done this in October now I think about it.
It's all good. We'll package it together and re-air it next year.
Yeah.
And before that interview, we heard in the booth with us was my sister, Emily Woods, the littlest Woods, talking about being a woman in stand-up comedy. And that was a fun chat.
A lot of personal information there.
Yeah, you learned a lot about the Woods sisters that are there. And yeah, in between all of that, we heard a little bit of music. The track that we just heard before the ads, that was Woman of Dreams from Partner, my favorite album of the year, In Search of Lost Time. Before that, we heard from Always. The track was In Undertow off of their Antisocialites album, which also came out this year. We also heard transitioning us from the Emily interview to the witchcraft was Big Joanie's cover of No Scrubs. It's so great. And of course, we heard a little bit of Queen Latifah earlier in the show. So it's been a good music show today. I've been having a lot of fun programming all of this.
And yes.
It's some good, good tunes. But the good tunes are coming to an end soon,
yes,
folks, because soon we're going to be relinquishing the studio. And this is actually the last live episode of Intersections for the year. We'll be taking a December hiatus, but that's not a hiatus from new content. Just we'll be prepackaging and recording some great content for your earwaves over the next few weeks, including that interview. Second half of the interview will be here next
week. I won't
be
here, but the interview will.
I know. We have to bid adieu to Maxime. And big shout out and thanks to Maxime for helping out this semester. It's been a lot of fun.
It was a pleasure. It was a lot of fun, yes. I will certainly miss it.
Yeah, and wherever you go out there in the radioverse, I hope that community radio follows you wherever you go.
I hope so, too. It would be a great way to be followed.
I know. It's great. Everybody who's out there listening right now is just going to follow you. That's how this works.
Yes, don't make it personal though. Like, keep some distance, please.
Yes, do not knock on Maxime's door in the middle of the night.
Exactly.
Radio land, no matter how much you love her.
You can find me on Instagram, but not on my house.
Yeah, but yeah, it's been a great semester here on Intersections. Like I said, don't go away. We'll be back with more new content next week. We have a holiday special coming up towards the end of this month, and before you know it, we'll be back here in the studio in the start of January. I know we have a lot of good stuff. Start the new year. I know we have
a lot of
good stuff coming up with the UBC Pride Collective during that time, and it is going to be great. So, but we are going to have to pass things off to the News Collective today. Democracy Watch is up next. They've got a lot of great stories from the UBC Graduate School of Journalism, Thunderbird stories. I was in the newsroom when a lot of these stories were published, and I can say they are very good. So we're going to be hearing from that next. This next track, just a fun one, another one of my favorites from 2017. This is from the Chivrettes from my hometown of Calgary, Alberta. The track is Betty. The album is Dead Men Can't Catcall. This show has been Intersections. This station is CITR. And this is you having a great rest of your Thursday. See you guys.